namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter 1, entitled The History of the Life of Ajamya, text 50. Panchabhi kurite svartam. Panchavidata panchavi. Ekasta sodasena trin. Svayam satta dasusnate. Panchavi. With the five working senses. Voice. Arms. Legs, anus, and genitals. Kurute, performs. Svartam, his desired interests. Pancha, the five objects of the senses. Sound, form, touch, aroma, and taste. Veda, knows. Atta, thus. Panchabhi, by the five senses of perception. Hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, and feeling. Ekaha, the one. Two, but. Sudasena, by these 15 items in the mind. Trin, the three categories of experience. Happiness, distress, and a mixture of both. Swayam, he, the living entity himself. Saptadasa, the 17th item. Asnute, enjoys. Translation. About the five senses of perception, the five working senses, and the five objects of the senses, is the mind, which is the 16th element. Above the mind is the 17th element, the soul, the living being himself, who is in cooperation with the other 16, enjoys the material world alone. The living being enjoys three kinds of situations, namely happy, distressful, and mixed. Purport. Everyone engages in work with his hands, legs, and other senses just to achieve a certain goal according to his concocted ideas. One who tries to enjoy the five sense objects, namely form, sound, taste, aroma, touch, not knowing the actual goal of life, which is to satisfy the Supreme Lord. Because of disobeying the Supreme Lord, one is put into material conditions and in any and he then tries to improve his situation in a concocted way, not desiring to follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nevertheless, the Supreme Lord is so kind that he comes himself to instruct the bewildered living entity how to act obediently and then gradually return home back to Godhead, where he can attain an eternal, peaceful life of bliss and knowledge. The living entity has a body which is a very complicated combination of the material elements, and with this body he struggles alone, as indicated in this verse by the words ekastu. For example, if one is struggling in the ocean, he must swim through it alone. Although many other men and aquatics are swimming in the ocean, he must take care of himself, because no one else will help him. Therefore, this verse indicates that the 17th item, the soul, must work alone. Although he tries to create society, friendship, and love, no one will be able to help him but Krishna, the Supreme Lord. Therefore, his only concern should be how to satisfy Krishna. That is also what Krishna wants. Sarva dharma paricharya mamaikam saranam braja. People bewildered by material conditions try to be united, but although they strive for unity among men and nations, all their attempts are futile. Everyone must struggle alone for existence with the material elements of nature. Therefore, one's only hope, as Krishna advises, is to surrender to him, for he can help one become free from the ocean of nescience. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore prayed, I nandatanuja kinkaram patitam mambisame bhavam buddho kripaya tava pada pangaja stita duli sadisam visintaya. O Krishna, beloved son of Nanda Maharaj, I am your eternal servant, but somehow or other I have fallen into this ocean of nescience, and although I am struggling very hard, there is no way I can save myself. If you kindly pick me up and fix me as one of the particles of dust at your lotus feet, that will save me. In a similar way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sang, Anadi karma phale padi bhavarna na bhavarnava jale taribhara na dekhi upai. My dear Lord, I cannot remember when I somehow or other fell into the ocean of nescience, and now I can find no way to rescue myself. We should remember that everyone is responsible for his own life. If an individual becomes a pure devotee of Krishna, he is then delivered from the ocean of nescience. Just a moment. The emphasis in the verse, and then particularly in Srila Prabhupada's purport on the words ekas tu, that everyone is ultimately alone, and that everyone ultimately is individually responsible. It's an interesting point, because in one sense we put a lot of emphasis on community and on development of the Vaishnav community, quite a current theme is devotee care, which in a way seems to contradict this very point that everyone is alone. So devotee care is required. We need the support of the Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada gives one analogy, the analogy of the plane. And he points out that when the plane is on the ground, there is a lot of ground staff around the plane doing many things, putting fuel, checking the tires, and so many other things. One man checks the engines. There's a whole team that kind of does a last-minute checkup of the plane. But then once the plane takes off, it's on its own. And Prabhupada explains like that, we all fly our own plane. So in that sense, the two elements are there. Even our spiritual master, although our spiritual master is our dedicated well-wisher, and the spiritual master is our unconditional well-wisher. Therefore, even when we are becoming less interest in going back to Godhead, our spiritual master will continue to pray and will continue to make arrangements for our going back to Godhead. His desire for us to go is stronger than our own desire. Nonetheless, despite this intention of the spiritual master, what can he do? What can he ultimately do? One can take the horse to water, one can lead the horse to water, but one cannot make it drink. So everyone has that personal responsibility. Just as Rupa Goswami gave a whole system of 64 angas of bhakti, out of which five angas, the panch anga, were the principal means. And here in this verse, we are discussing how the living being is in the material world and how he's interacting with the world, with the dasendriya, with the 10 senses, the 5 working senses and the 5 senses of sense perception, and that the living entity is then interacting with the sense objects. Ultimately, all these experiences are registered in the mind. There in the mind, all the impressions are remaining from all that sense experience. And then, finally, behind all that is the soul, spirit, that is the life-giving force of that matter. Like Srila Prabhupada mentioned in Germany to this, in a discussion with Dr. Wolf Rotkai, he said, what is a question of death when the body is always dead? Where is a question that the body dies? It's never alive. It's not alive for a moment. It is the soul that is moving the body around. Otherwise, it has no life of its own at all. It is the soul that is simply alive, and the body is simply dead. So that's interesting to kind of regard our situation here in that way. Now, Srila Rupa Goswami is offering a process of engaging the senses in the service of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada said it is like a switch which you can turn on. And you just turn on that switch and immediately everything is changed. Immediately, everything becomes surcharged and spiritualized as soon as we engage the senses. Then mana sastra nindriyani, the senses including the mind, in the service of the Lord. As simple as that. So the process of cultivating Krishna consciousness is very simple. The same senses, the very same senses that are so much the cause of our bondage in the material world, the very same senses are the cause of now becoming free from that bondage. The very same senses now engaged in service of Krishna become the cause of our liberation. And this is the unique feature of Krishna consciousness. Unlike other attempts and processes on the spiritual path, which are basically preoccupied with denying the senses interaction. The impersonalists, they simply withdraw the senses from the sense objects, and that is their process. But in our case, the process of bhakti yoga is not rigid like that. There are descriptions of certain Buddhists who are entering into a cave, and the cave is bricked up, and they take a vow to go into such a cave for 8 years, 10 years, 12 years, and they brick it up, and there's a little tunnel for food, and some water is running through the cave from one side to the other, and there they are for 8 years. There's 3 options. One is you die, then you're already in your grave. The other option is you go insane, then you are in your isolation already. Or the third option, you sort of see the light, I guess. Something like that. That's the objective. But this is a very painful process because it is a process of negation, a process of denial. And of course, the realization of that process is incomplete. It may be possible through that process to realize the underlying spiritual nature of all that exists. Brahmana Pratistham. Everything rests on Brahman. That may be realized, but Pantastu Koti Satavatsara Sampragamyo Vayora Tapi Manaso Muni Pungavanam Supyasti Yat Prapadi Chincha Bichincha Tatve Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Through such processes, one cannot even touch the tip of the toe of the Lord. And therefore, the heart is never satisfied in such a process. Yayatma suprasidati, or through devotional service, one becomes suprasidati. Sidati means satisfied. Prasidati means completely satisfied. And su means very much completely satisfied. Something like that. In this way, through devotional service, one becomes very much completely satisfied. And that is wonderful. There is nothing like it. We rely on community. But one cannot use that as an excuse for his mind. The mind is finding many excuses why we cannot surrender. The easiest thing is to look for external reasons, external causes. I didn't get enough support. No, we got all that is required. All that is required, even a moment of association, lobha matra sadhu sangha. Even a moment of association with a devotee can be enough, where one's eyes are opened, where one receives transcendental knowledge. That can be enough. The support structure, that is extra mercy. That's simply extra mercy of the acharyas. Said, all right, we'll arrange some support to make it easier. But it is what it is. One cannot... In spiritual life, one has to rise to the occasion. The saying, to rise to the occasion, means one has to do the needful. Whatever it takes has to be done. One cannot use reasons because I am especially having many problems. Therefore, it is difficult for me. Krishna has different marks on his lotus feet, and these marks on Krishna's lotus feet are there for a reason. Like one is, there is a stick for controlling an elephant, one of these sticks with the point and the hook. So why is it there? It is said that it is there because one might just say, my mind, you know, I have a special handicap, my mind, it is as strong as an elephant. It's just too strong. And what to do? I happen to have a mind like that. You know, it's too strong. No. When we meditate on the lotus feet of Krishna, then that stick will control that mind, no matter how strong it is. Okay. Mind, all right then. But I have another problem. My karma, no, really. My karma, it's bad, really. If I would tell you what happened to me in my life, you know, it's bad. And it's all confirmed in my chart, astrologically also, confirmed. And yes, and beyond that even, you know, it's like from all sides. You know, Western astrology, Indian church astrology, Chinese astrology, everything confirmed. It's just impossible. Therefore, I want to be successful in spiritual life, but it's the odds are against me. There's nothing I can do about it. My karma is so strong. And again, at Krishna's lotus feet, there is a thunderbolt. Why that thunderbolt? The thunderbolt is there to tell us, don't worry, even if your karma is as big as a mountain, I will smash it just like that with this thunderbolt. Say, yes, 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 but what will I do? What will I do? I have many problems in my spiritual life because I am poor. Yeah, you're laughing. I can see because you are not poor. But when you're poor, it's very serious. No, really. If you have no money, if you have nothing, then, you know, you cannot, there's no time. There's no time for these spiritual things. It's a luxury. Spiritual life is a luxury for those who can afford it. But I'm poor, what can I do? So I have to, I'm forced to spend all my time, you know, to just survive. I want to chant, but I have no time because I have to survive. I'm poor, you may not understand. You know, therefore Krishna shows at his lotus feet the sign of the barley corn, which is the sign of opulence and wealth. So don't worry, I provide. Everything will be provided for those who take shelter of my lotus feet. So in this way, Krishna is aware of our objections. So Krishna understands our mentality, that we come up with 1,001 excuses for not surrendering. Very reasonable. Oh, good. Very reasonable. Very. What can I do? I'm poor. My mind. All these things. But actually, the fact of the matter is, we must somehow or other, we must rise to the occasion. Somehow or other, weakness will not do. If we give in to weakness, we will miss the opportunity. We will miss the rare opportunity that is offered to us in this life. But that we cannot do. That's not a good option. That's not intelligent. So somehow or other we must do. Now, spiritual strength is such a thing. It may be true that some people carry a little more spiritual strength from a previous life than others. But basically, whatever we've got with us in terms of a stock, it's not gonna last. It's like money. Some may have a little more money in the wallet than others, but if you don't make sure that new money comes into the wallet, then even if you have a fat wallet, soon it will be empty. Somehow or other, it goes anyway. So the point is that in this life, we need spiritual strength so that we can have the conviction to actually take up the challenge of spiritual life. That strength is not just coming from what we got from birth. That strength we need to build it up. And that is the main point. The main point is therefore that one must collect daivi sampad, or spiritual wealth. One must, just like someone in the world, is always looking for opportunities to make some money. Make some this way, that way. Making money. A materialist always looking for opportunities. But in the same way, a devotee is always looking for opportunities to collect some spiritual wealth, because it is that spiritual wealth that is the source of strength. Srila Prabhupada gives that example of placing iron in the fire and then it will act like fire. So the more spiritual wealth we collect, the more that the result will be that we will be spiritually strong, then it is possible. So hearing and chanting are the of all the processes of bhakti which are outlined by Srila Rupa Goswami, highlighted as the principle, hearing and chanting. They are the essence. Other elements of this Panchanga Bhakti, of the five principal forms, are the Holy Dham, residing in the Holy Dham, worshipping the deity, and the association of devotees. So these we need. But especially hearing and chanting is our ongoing activity, constant practically. Kirtanya Sadahari, to always chant. Sankhya Purvaga Nama Gana Nativi. Sankhya means counting. One must count the names one chants. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, we are counting because we want to make sure that we are increasing. So we're not just counting to fulfill a quota, but we're counting to come to an increase. So that gradually Kirtaniya Sadahari becomes a reality, and that the holy name will even continue to act in our consciousness even while we are asleep, even when we are working, somehow or other, that in the mind continues just to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, constantly. That kind of absorption, that we hear Bhagavatam, and that as a result we see, we recognize the conditions of Bhagavatam around us. We see the three modes of material nature, and we realize that we are interacting with this material nature through the senses, and we realize that the mind is behind, and we realize that it is the soul, the hankering of the soul for happiness, that is the driving force for all this material endeavor. Simply because the soul is anandamaya vyasat, pleasure-seeking by nature, are we always engaged, going here, from here to there, developing so many things, doing so many things, because we desire that happiness. That's the one thing that moves people, or all living beings, that desire for happiness. We know that happiness is found with Krishna only. So somehow or other, we turn to Krishna. And for that, community helps. Because in community, we can very easily remember Krishna. Because when we forget, someone else will remind us. The Harinam party with the very loud sound system comes through Mayapur, and all conversations have to stop. Okay? I mean, even when you are trying to talk, you can't, because the Harinam is louder. For example, there are many examples of how somehow or other we, in community, we are forced to remember Krishna. So the value of community is essential. The value of the Dham is essential. But at the end of the day, we have to become active. It cannot be just passive that we are carried by our environment. We have to become active. And not only active in quantity of service, but in quality. It says one should not stay a kanista adhikari, a materialistic devotee. One must, with full faith, put all his faith in Krishna. If I simply dedicate my life to fulfill the standards that Krishna has given in the scripture, right? And stop all material calculation, then everything will be auspicious. Srila Prabhupada was up late at night. It was 11 o'clock. One devotee was also still up, and Prabhupada sat down to translate. And this devotee was just getting ready to go to bed. And then Prabhupada said, "Come, why don't you come sit next to me while I'm translating?" He said, "Oh, Srila Prabhupada, it's really late, you know, it's really late. I have to go to bed." And then Prabhupada said, "I'm not going to bed." And then the devotee said, "Yes, but you are a pure devotee." You know? And then Prabhupada said, "Why are you not a pure devotee?" Why are we not a pure devotee? By choice. You see, it's by choice. We are not pure devotees because we don't want to be. That's ultimately what holds us back. All right, it may be, even when one makes that choice to be a pure devotee, there may still be some material attachments and contamination to overcome. But when one seriously makes the choice, then it is possible. It is possible. So Srila Prabhupada, this year in Vrindavan, I got the opportunity to speak on Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day, and the one thing that crossed my mind, that Srila Prabhupada was the most challenging person that the world ever knew, that the world has ever known. No one has challenged the world more than Prabhupada, because Prabhupada went to the whole world and challenged everybody, you know, to become a pure devotee. Not a few, no, everybody. That challenge is there. Srila Prabhupada challenged everyone in this room, everyone on the internet and beyond, right? Yeah, to be a pure devotee. And that is the purport to this verse. It is really, it's up to us. And it is possible if we want to. And the reason that we are not there is because we don't want to. I'll end with those words on a high note and see if there's any comments or questions. Yes, Prabhu. Ill health.
Hare Krishna. My wife and I have been struggling with ill health since we came to the Dhamma, so we've been trying to understand it as an obstacle in a purification.
Yeah.
If you could speak a little about that.
Ill health is a great test. Since earlier on I referred to astrology, some astrologers say you can look at someone's chart and you can see all the good qualities that they have, but if the health is bad, it's all cancelled. Right? So bad health has that tendency to cancel all kinds of abilities, all kinds of situations. In ill health, even when one normally has a taste to hear, a taste to chant, in ill health it can become a burden. Right. So ill health is a very difficult test. I have been in the intensive care, right, in the past, and there I was lying in a bed in a ward with a number of others, and I had just returned to consciousness. And as I returned to consciousness, I realized that I was not alone, that there were many others in the same position as I was. And the thought crossed my mind, it doesn't matter how you got here, how we got here. You know, some are here because of old age, some are here because of an accident, some are here for whatever reason, because of disease. But we're all in the same position now, reduced, no strength, nothing. Now, All that we have left is the Krishna consciousness that's inside. At that time, the devotees brought me my japa mala, and I lost it in the ocean of the bed. I mean, and I never found it again. Right? It just disappeared. And the whole Maha Mantra at times was just too big. You know, I mean, sometimes all I could manage was Krishna. Krishna, just the whole Maha Mantra, my head was spinning. I couldn't get the whole thing finished from beginning to end. I guess Krishna, Krishna, put some Krishnas in there and then sort of spin out again. And so, okay, there are different levels on which bad health can manifest. But it tends to take away the external support and throw us back on what is inside. And at that time, we must take shelter. We must take shelter. It may not be possible to take shelter in a passionate way, do a lot of sadhana, or, you know, but still, as much as possible, we can try and add the Krishna conscious dimension to it. We can hear by tape, we can still try to chant and pray to Krishna. It's there. It's ultimately we're in the same boat as anywhere else. We just have to turn to Krishna, and that little step, right, is always there. It's like, whether it's difficult or not, we have to turn to Krishna, and even in a state of ill health. But it can be very challenging, ill health, absolutely, and make everything into an austerity. Therefore, we must fill our heart with inspiration while we are in good health, because that will give us the strength to deal with these heavy times when they come. Because whatever is in there. So if we read a lot of Bhagavatam now that we can, then at the time when we can't, it will still be there. We'll carry it with us. It's not good enough that the Bhagavatam is on our hard disk. It really has to be in our heart. Like that. We have to be absorbed. So in that way, Mayapur is nice, because it's a place where it's easy to absorb in hearing and chanting. But disease then, okay. It's a good fortune, we burn up a lot of karma, we get so blessings in that way. Any other question? We want to be pure devotees, but work pressure and tiredness, sleep are in path. How to overcome that? From Madhulika. Well, I think that Srila Gorkasurdas Babaji, he also, although he was not having a workload, but tiredness also affected him while he was chanting many, many rounds. So what he did is he took some clay, put it in a cloth, and tied it on his head so that whenever he was nodding off, he would wake up. So, in other words, we have many opportunities. We have all these electronics, and all these electronics can help us in the midst of all the pressure in the modern society to remind us of Krishna. We can use all the tools that we have to our disposal to put in a little bit of Krishna a little bit more of Krishna here and there, some extra hearing. Now we have that amazing opportunity that you can always carry all of Prabhupada's lectures with you, wherever you go. It's not impossible. You know, you can have them. And even more than that, if you wish. And so there's ample of opportunity now to hear. Previously, that was not possible. So, in a way, we have more opportunity to hear from Prabhupada than Prabhupada's disciples had during his presence. You know, you realize that? I mean, in Vrindavan, we had one set of Srila Prabhupada's letters. There was another set in LA, but which temple could pride itself on a full set of Prabhupada's letters? Now you have them on your phone. Yeah? You know? So, we have such access now. So that is Krishna's arrangement to save all these devotees who are struggling with work pressure, tiredness and sleep and all, and material desires and all these other things. If we just take shelter of all these things that are available to us, that will give us the strength to fight the sleep, to fight the laziness, like Srila Gaurakasura Das Babaji did. Then we can be pure devotees. Hare Krishna. Okay, yes. To a certain degree. So the question is that to a certain degree we may want to be pure devotees, but how can we make this more solid? Srila Prabhupada explains everything moves by taste. It is by taste that things, if there's no taste, very difficult to do. So Bhagavatam says, Susu Saladana Shavasudeva Kataru Chi San Mahat Sevya Vipapunya Tirtani Sevya. Serve the Vaishnavas, you'll get taste to hear about Krishna. Then when we have taste to hear about Krishna, then it will come. Because by hearing about Krishna, the desire to become a pure devotee will become stronger. So it all begins with serving the Vaishnavas. Maharaj, you've told we are on our own. Sorry. It's up to us to go back to Godhead, to back home. What are we supposed to do? Take it very serious. That's what we're supposed to do. Take devotional service very serious. My answer is, be serious about serious things. We can have lots of fun. Everyone wants some fun. We can joke, we can play, we can, you know, we can feast and so on. But let's be serious about serious things. Serious about 16 rounds. Serious about four regulative principles. Serious about reading Prabhupada's books. Serious about devotional service. Serious about our ashram. Let's be serious about serious things. And then we'll find that gradually we become very focused and that we become very serious about going back to Godhead. So just let's get serious about serious things. What it takes to be a pure devotee. First thing is to serve a pure devotee. To not just serve a pure devotee a little bit, no. To give one's life to a pure devotee. To understand, I am the property of that pure devotee. And in that way, one can become a pure devotee. That's the first thing. Ado Guru Padasraya. First that. Become the property of a pure devotee. Finished.
But especially to the root devotees.
To the which devotees?
I want
obeisances to all devotees, but especially to which devotees?
Root.
Rus?
Russian
devotees. Okay, okay.
Because
they are the best devotees. Huh? I think the Spanish devotees are also very nice. I think it's the mix, all together, everyone has its strengths, you know. The Spanish, I used to serve in Spain, I know her from Spain, and the devotees in Spain, they know how to pray, they're very prayerful, and they know two things in Spain. One is siesta, that means sleeping in the afternoon, and then the other thing is fiesta, which is a transcendental festival for the Lord. Like this, I see spiritual strength everywhere in the world, you know. Okay, with that, I'll end now. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada.